blind with that light. Jim, how'd you ever see me? Scripture reading this evening is taken from Jonah, the 4th chapter. I'll be reading the first 3 verses. Jonah 4, 1 through 3. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live."
Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We are wrapping up the book of Jonah for our book of the month. We've been taking it one chapter at a time, and we are at chapter 4. You know, certainly it's been a long journey. I really do believe that you can find yourself in one of the chapters of Jonah. You can find yourself in chapter 1, running away from God, running away from God's mission. You can find yourself in chapter 2, turning to God and turning back to God in repentance. Chapter 3, I think you can find yourself running with God for a period of time. And I think chapter 4, we find Jonah, I believe, running ahead of God and putting his will ahead of God. So certainly, if you open up your book to open up your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4, that's where we're going to be spending our time this evening as we look at Jonah. Number one is, as we look at these first 4 verses, we see that Jonah is displeased. Jonah is displeased. And Brother Mickey just read that for us, but let us read it one more time. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry, so he prayed the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.' Then the Lord said, 'Is it right for you to be angry?'" What is Jonah mad about? What is he angry about? He is mad that God has forgiven these people. And like I said in chapter 1, is that I think that when you really understand Jonah's task, his task is to leave his home and go preach to a brutal people. It'd almost be like us if somebody said, you know, go preach to ISIS. Of course, ISIS has kind of been out of the scene for a while. But there's a period in the news, if you remember, they were beheading people and going through, doing all these things. Well, Kyle, you go preach to ISIS, these people who are killing Americans, who want to kill all Americans, you know, do all these things. So Jonah's task is challenging. And I think sometimes we're hard on Jonah. I understand it's a mission of God, and Jonah should obey God and fulfill the mission which God has given, but the mission is not necessarily the easiest mission given. And I would suggest that Christians today run from far less than what Jonah ran from. He said, go preach to ISIS, go preach to these enemies, go preach to these brutal people that will probably reject the word. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Go preach to these people that have been brutal against your country. And I think that's interesting. When you look in chapter 4, what does he say? He says, my country. My country. I think that sometimes as Christians, we have to put some of our patriotism to the side. Not that I don't love our country, not that we're not to be obedient to the laws of the land, but God comes first, and God's mission comes first. And I think that perhaps Jonah was so patriotic and loved Israel so much, he did not want to go preach to a group of people that had been brutal to his people and would be very brutal, taking away the northern kingdom. Why is Jonah angry? Because God offered forgiveness, because God offered kindness to a people that Jonah did not feel deserved that. I think it is slightly ironic, because what did Jonah really need in chapters 1 and 2? He needed God's mercy and God's forgiveness, and now he is trying to restrict that from others. He did not want these individuals to be forgiven. Imagine somebody who killed your family or harmed your family in some way. Would that be a hard individual to perhaps forgive? I think the church struggled with Saul as he persecuted the church, as he was going into people's homes, as he was at the stoning of Stephen. I think the church struggled with forgiving Saul who became Paul. I think they struggled with that. I think Jonah is kind of going through a similar thing here. These people are brutal. They have a bad track record. They don't deserve forgiveness. You know what they need? They need justice. That's really what Jonah wanted for these people. He wanted justice. These people are brutal. They have all kinds of evil on their track record. They don't need forgiveness, God. They need justice. Chapters 1 and 2, Jonah needed mercy so desperately, but now he is trying to hold back that mercy and forgiveness from others. You know, I've come to the conclusion when Judgment Day comes around, I am in desperate need of mercy and not justice. And sometimes, even people in the Lord's church struggle to see that, is that we need mercy, not justice. Justice would end with every one of us in hell because we have broken God's law. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. The punishment is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. We need mercy. And someone who received mercy in chapters 1 and 2 is now holding back mercy from others. And really, when we look through this, I mean, Jonah, I would say, maybe is a little bit dramatic. We're going to see him be maybe a little bit dramatic in this. I think it helps if we try to put ourselves in this situation. He's going to preach to these very brutal people, and now they have been forgiven, and he is struggling with these individuals being forgiven. He wanted justice. I think Jonah wanted to preach, and then he wanted to get out of the city, get a nice spot, and watch the city be destroyed. I think he was struggling with forgiveness and mercy. You know, just like we have probably run away from far less than what Jonah ran away from, I think sometimes we forgive perhaps even less than Jonah. We forgive less than Jonah. We run away from less than Jonah ran away from. And yet many times we come down hard on Jonah. And I'm not saying Jonah was in the wrong. Jonah was in the wrong. But you not understand the book of Jonah is your life. Running away from God, running to God, running with God, and then running ahead of God. See, really, Jonah says, I want them to be punished. I don't care, God, that you want them to be forgiven. I want them to be punished. I want them to have justice and not mercy. You know what? I see a similar attitude in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we have the prodigal son. That son takes the inheritance, he runs off, he lives with his prodigal living, he burns through all of that, and now he comes home. And who's there waiting for him? His father, who is ready and willing to forgive. But who also is there? We have the older brother in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we see the response of the other brother there. In Luke chapter 15, verses 22 and following, as we look at the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal, in chapter 15, verses 22 and following, it says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put on the ring on his hand, and the sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, for he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I don't see this to be too much different than Jonah's response. Jonah has received mercy in many respects, and actually when we look at the older son, as many times when we're emotional, perhaps he's had a misspeaking. Because he says, always I have served you. You think that that son ever had a moment in his life where he did not serve his father or did what his father asked? I bet you can find one moment, just like you can find one moment in all of us. But he's emotional. He says, I have served, I have been faithful, and how can you be offering this to another? I think it's a very similar response that we see coming from Jonah. You know, one lesson I think we have to learn when it comes to Christianity is forgiveness. And it's not easy. Jonah is struggling with it right outside of Nineveh. The older son is struggling with it as his brother returns home. Forgiveness is not an easy idea for us to adopt, but the easiest way for us to adopt it is to remember that we have been forgiven, and how dare we hold that back from others. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says this. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. We might struggle with forgiveness, but we better figure it out real quick and in a hurry. We better figure out forgiveness real quick and in a hurry. Because if we do not forgive others their trespasses, God will not forgive us our trespasses. In fact, I think we see this idea throughout the Bible. Jonah is struggling with it outside of Nineveh, but really we see it with the older prodigal son. I also think we see it in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, we have another parable of an unforgiving servant. You remember, this servant has a great debt, which he cannot pay. And he goes to the master and he begs that the debt will be forgiven. And that debt is forgiven him. This debt that he can never pay. When we look at the amount of that debt, he would never be able to pay this debt. He is forgiven of this debt that he could never pay. And then he has a servant that owes him a small amount. And he holds that against him. Jonah is struggling with forgiveness outside of Nineveh. The older brother of the prodigal son struggled with forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, we see the unforgiving servant struggling with forgiveness. Maybe this is something that even New Testament Christians struggle with from time to time. Forgiving those. See, really, Jonah is being asked to forgive these murderers, really, these very brutal people. And I think that sometimes in our lives, we have people that have wronged us in a far less way. They have not hurt our family. They have not killed our family. They have not done anything brutal towards our family. And yet we can't forgive them. But yet, we have these other situations where I think forgiveness is an expectation of the followers of the Lord. If we have been forgiven of so much, how can we forgive so little? How are we God's people, the ones to hold grudges for years and years and years? How are we the ones to hold these little things against people? People that we think have wronged us and offended us, and we cannot let it go, and we just carry it with us forever. We see Jonah struggling with forgiveness. He is displeased. He is angry. He is sad that God has forgiven these individuals. He is struggling with forgiveness outside of Nineveh. And it is a problem we see throughout the New Testament. I think we're going to see that God is going to make this into a peaceful moment. In fact, I think we see it start in verse 4. If we see that Jonah, I believe, is struggling with forgiveness along with some other things. And in verse 4 it says, then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? What a question. Is it right for you to be angry when God forgives someone? Is it right for you to be angry when there is kindness that is given out? You think of the older son of the prodigal. We also think of the unforgiving servant. Is it right for you to be angry? Let's look at verses 4 through 9. It says in verse 5, it says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it to come up over Jonah that it might shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm And it so damaged the plant that it withered, and it happened when the sun rose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "Is it better for me to die than to live?" Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah is angry and he is distressed that God has forgiven these people that have committed such atrocities. And we see a setup that occurs with Jonah outside of Nineveh, where we have this plant that gives him shade, and then the plant is going to be taken away. But what a powerful question. But I think God wanted Jonah to really think about what has led to Jonah not being willing to forgive. And I think we hit on a deep idea here that I think if we find in ourselves, it's going to lead to a lot of problems in our life, not only in forgiveness, but service to the Lord. I think God really wanted Jonah to think. Really think about his anger and why he was angry. Why was Jonah angry? Over kindness and forgiveness? Why would you be angry over such a thing? I think Jonah wanted to find a nice spot out of the city and watch the destruction. And that is just unfortunate. But I think that God, with this plan, he's going to hit on a couple different ideas, but I think one of the ideas that is most dangerous to a Christian is when we become selfish. And although it might be hard to see, I think Jonah was selfish. He was so selfish that he would hold back forgiveness from others. He would hold kindness back from others. He is very, I believe, self-centered, self-focused. And just the taking away of a plant, we look at how much that affects him. You know what? When you're selfish, you will hold back forgiveness from others. When you are selfish, you will not like when other people are being treated kindly or something good happens to them because you're selfish. And you can only see from your perspective and not the perspective of others. I think in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, I think it's another example of forgiveness. I think the Bible tries to hammer that into our mind. But we have in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, we have the parable of the workers. And we, I believe, remember the parable, is that there is a master, and he is hiring these people to work in his field. And he hires some people to work a full day, and then as the day goes on, he keeps hiring individuals to work in his field, but each group works less hours, but yet, at the end of the day, what do they all get paid? They all get paid the same. Now everybody jumps on that and they're like, "Well, this is unfair. They have worked different amount of time." Now when you look at that conversation, I do think it's powerful in Matthew chapter 20 when the master starts defending himself against the workers. Because the workers are like, "Hey, you work different hours. We should receive different pay." Let's listen to what the master says. Of course, Jesus' parable. Matthew chapter 20, verses 13 and following. The master defending himself. Then he says, "But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" I find this conversation of the master with the workers is so interesting. If we have these workers that have worked different times, and they are under distress, and the master starts having conversations with them, and he says, "I have done you no wrong." I can tell you, God does no wrong when he offers forgiveness and kindness. God does no wrong. Why are you mad because God offers forgiveness and kindness? That is what he said he would give for those individuals that are obedient, that fulfill what God has asked. But I find that so interesting. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing to you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you." Now verse 15, I think this is significant as well. It says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own sin?" Who offers forgiveness? Who offers kindness? God God is the one that gives forgiveness and kindness, and God gives that out. You say, God, don't give that out to those people. Don't give that out to those people. God says, that's what I want to give, and that's what they agreed, and that's what they signed up for. I'm going to give them what they signed up for. But you are only viewing it from your perspective. You're only viewing it from your perspective. Imagine if we treated Christians this way and said, you know what, I've lived longer, so I deserve more forgiveness. What are you talking about? God said He offers forgiveness to those that obey the gospel, and those individuals will receive the same. And how can we look at another and say, you know what, I'm going to hold back forgiveness and kindness from them? I think there are so many illustrations that Jesus uses, so many parables, to try to get this idea across to us. We have the prodigal son. We have the unforgiving servant. We have the workers in the vineyard. God is trying to show us over and over again that forgiveness is important to God. And without forgiveness, we're not making heaven. But how in the world do we restrict it from others? How do we hold back forgiveness and kindness from others that are around us? Oh, I think this is a teachable moment. Now, what I find interesting is you will see in your version probably the word prepared. There are four things that God prepares in the book of Jonah. Number one, He prepares the fish that swallows Jonah, which probably saves his life. He also prepares this plant that gives him shade. But then He also prepares the worm, which destroys the plant. And then He also prepares this east wind. God has a lot of preparation. And I think through all this, God is trying to teach Jonah some things. And I think life can be a teacher. And I think that God sometimes understands that certain things need to be in our vicinity, that certain things we need to experience and go through some adversity so we can learn and grow. And I think all throughout Jonah, God is trying to teach Jonah some powerful lessons. He prepared a lot of things for Jonah. The question is how will Jonah respond to these things, and how will he learn from these things? When you think about this, it is powerful in my mind that Jonah is more concerned about a plant that's given him shade than a whole city that just repented. When you are self-centered, you cannot really forgive the way that God wants you to forgive and serve God the way that He wants you to serve. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. It says, but the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock? No pity. What is pity? It's the feeling of sorrow, compassion caused by suffering and misfortune of others. You know what? I think Jonah is so self-centered, he doesn't have compassion. He's not concerned about other people's suffering. He's not concerned about other people's hardship. He's not sorry about their sorrow. He's not having compassion. You know what? I think when Christians are not living the Christian life as they should, many times they lack compassion. When we're not evangelistic like we should, I think it's because we lack compassion. When we don't forgive the way we should, I think it's because we lack compassion. When we don't live the Christian life many times, I think it can be tracked back to compassion. And you know what? It's very hard to have compassion when you are self-centered. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. When we're self-centered, we're not compassionate. And many times we don't extend kindness or forgiveness. What's interesting about this 120,000 is many individuals estimate that the population of Nineveh was around 600,000. Now when you read that verse there towards the end, and you read that 120,000, a lot of people believe that person verse could actually be translated children, and that actually might make a lot more sense there. If there's 120,000 children in Nineveh, Jonah, And I think that the next little piece actually backs it up a little bit, where it says, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. I think God might be saying, Jonah, you have no pity. There's 120,000 children in the city, and you're more concerned about a plant. You're self-centered. You're self-focused. You don't have compassion. You don't want me to offer forgiveness and kindness to anyone but you, anyone but the people of Israel. Even if it's 120,000 of the population of Nineveh, that's certainly a power enough point by itself. But if he's talking about children here, how much more powerful it is, Jonah, you have no pity, you have no compassion. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do we have compassion for those that are around us? You know, when you run ahead of God, really, you put your will ahead of God. You know what Jonah's will was? Justice. You know what God's will was? Forgiveness. We run ahead of God when we put our will before the Lord. And you know what? That is very challenging for a Christian to live our life with God's will in front of ours. In fact, Jesus, as we see him praying, his last prayer probably before his death, as he's praying, let this cup pass from me, he says, not as I will, but your will be done. Will you pray that prayer? Will you have compassion? Will you offer forgiveness and kindness to your fellow man? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can if you come as we stand as we sing.